You're listening to Islam Tomorrow, and we're broadcasting live tonight all the way from Columbus, Ohio. We're in the masjid, which is called Masjid Omar ibn Khattab. Is that right? You know where you are? He's not sure. I saw you earlier tonight, didn't I? Earlier today. You were at the other program, right? What's your name?
Abdullah.
All right. He is the servant of Allah. Yeah. Okay, we're here, and if you'd like a rebroadcast of this and other programs, you can visit us on the internet at adly.net, A-D-L-Y.net, or islamtomorrow.com, islamtomorrow.com. Our websites are open 24 hours a day, and there's always plenty of free parking. And if you don't laugh at the jokes, they get worse. Thank you, both of you. Anyhow, we're here, and we want to talk on the subject of the adab of a Muslim. What is adab? Don't get this confused, by the way. There's another word in Arabic, adab. We don't want adab, we want adab. What's the difference? Well, if you say it with the sound in it, it's punishment. Adab, an-nar, adab, Allah. I don't want any of that. Adab bin Allah, right? It's the punishment of Allah, the punishment of the fire. And we seek refuge in Allah from this in our salah. Always at the end of the salah, before you sign off, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum, what are you supposed to say? Allahumma inni a'udhubika min azab al-qabr, min azab al-nar, min azab al-jahannam. Yes? You're seeking refuge with Allah from this azab. So it's not my subject. My subject is adab. What's the adab of a Muslim? This is the virtuous, good way to do something. The correct and proper way that a Muslim should do what he does. When I came to Islam, it was about 12 years ago, you know what? And I was nearly 50 years old. So if you add that all together, you come out with, I'm over 40 now. So, well, thank you for laughing. You're awake. Good. Alhamdulillah. This is going to be pretty exciting. By the way, do we have any Egyptians with us tonight? Any, only one, two, three? Huh? Four? Well, I don't know. Shall I tell my Saidi jokes or no? Anyhow, no jokes. So, what we're saying is that there is the right way to do things, and there's all the other ways. When I grew up, I can remember my father, who used to be a business counselor and help people in business, and I remember he used to tell them, when they would come back, oh, this didn't work and that didn't work, and this didn't work and that, and he would tell them, I told you the right way to do it. Did you do it? They said, well, almost. I did that, plus I did so and so, or I didn't do such and such. And he said, do you understand that I'm telling you the right way to do it? And there's only one right way. But there might be a million wrong ways. You're just trying to discover more wrong ways. So if you know the right way, do the right way. And this is the adab of a Muslim. Do it the right way. But how do you know what's right? When I came to Islam, as I was saying about 4 years ago, I thought I knew the right way to do things. But really, a lot of what I knew is kind of made up. Because only Islam has a full and a complete way of life. It's a complete deen or a way of life. Now, I know that some Christians might get upset and say, well, wait a minute, we have a complete way of life. I'm going to tell them, well, I almost agree with you. You had a complete way of life, but you changed it. And when you change something, it's not the same anymore, is it? And so when you had it, when you had your beautiful and beloved prophet Jesus, Isa, with you, then you were in the right way, and you had a perfect life. You had the best of the best. But then what happened? What happened is the people came and they changed it. And when they change things, it can never be better. Why? Because when God Almighty, He gives you something, it's perfect. It doesn't need any improvement. It's already good to go. Mia, mia. No problem. Right? Mafi mushkila. But whenever you start to change it, you're making the mushkil. And changes, innovations in Arabic are called bid'ah. The forbidden word. It's bid'ah. So we want to stay away from that. This is not our subject tonight. We're not talking about bidding. We're talking about a dab and a good way to do something. And I'm going to give you some examples to show you how beautiful Islam can be. Without Islam, how would a person know how to do anything? For instance, if he doesn't have any guidance at all, and he sees what he thinks is logic, he'll operate on his logic, right? He will operate on what he thinks is the right way. I'll give you an example, inshallah, that when a person has parents and they get really old, and they can't do anything anymore, they're no benefit to you, they can't help you, they become senile, and they're just basically in the way all the time, then what will you do with them? Well, if you don't have any guidance, and you don't have any understanding, you might just put them in an old folks home. You might just put them away. After all, their life's basically over, right? You don't need them anymore, right? So just put them away. And they're too much of a burden, because some of them, they get sick and they have problems, and, you know, you don't want to have to be fooling around with them, because, you know, you got your life, they already lived their life, so you could put them away. People do that in this country. Not everybody, but some people. When their relatives become old or infirm, they put them in a home. They call it a home. That's not a home. You're taking them out of their home and you're putting them in a big building with a lot of other people that are abandoned and left. It's a very horrible thing. I've been in them because when my father broke his legs, we had to put him in the hospital, and they wouldn't let him come straight home. He had to do several days in this convalescing home. What we would do is go up there in the morning, in afternoon, and night to be with him. Now, he's totally, at that stage, what they call senile, means he has no memory at all, zero. When you go out of the room, you can come back in, and he'll think you just came in for the first time. It's wonderful if you like to hear somebody say salam alaikum a whole lot to you. Hello, how are you doing? Salaamu Alaikum. He's all excited. You came to see me. You go out the door, you come back in, he'll say the same thing again. But while we were there, we found that the other people, nobody was going to see them. Nobody. It was very lonely, you know, for those people. And they would sit there, and some of them would say, help me, help me. And the people working there would just walk by and say, they don't want anything. If you ask them what they want, they just want some relative that's not here, you know. They call for their mothers, they call for their sons and daughters, they call for people that have been dead for a long time, but they don't know anymore, you know. So without guidance from Allah, this is what a lot of people would do. But Allah has ordered us in the Quran not to abandon our relatives when they become old like this. He ordered us to take care of them, and to lower the wing of mercy to them when they become old and infirm in this case. And even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that they are the ones who took care of us when we were small and we couldn't do anything, but they cared for us. Where would we be if they would have said, oh, these little kids make too much noise, they bother me, just leave them laying somewhere and walk off and that would be it. Allah even tells us in the Quran, don't even say, ugh. Don't even say, ugh. Don't even be disgusted taking care of them. Now, if somebody said, oh, this is a weird religion you have, I'm going to tell you this is not a new religion because it says the same thing in the Holy Bible. In the Holy Bible, there's a commandment, the very first and foremost commandment that says you cannot have any other gods besides God. Well, that's the first commandment in the Quran. It says in the Bible you can't have any statues or idols to worship alongside of God. It says that in the Quran too. Then it tells us in the Bible not to take God's name in vain. Muslims know not to do that. Then it says in the Bible to keep the holy day sacred for God alone. Well, we have a day mentioned, Al-Jumma, in our book. But we don't have to keep the whole day sacred, just take time off and go, you know, to the masjid, but we have a day too. But then the next commandment is the same in the Bible, the Old Testament, for the Jews, the Christians, their New Testament, the saints. And it's also the same for us, that after God's rights on earth, who has the next right? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he answered that question so beautiful. Because a man came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, after Allah and his messenger, who has, what human, what person, who has the most rights on me? He said, your mother. He said, then who? He said, your mother. And then? Your mother. And then your father. We understand immediately that our parents have big rights on us. Big rights. And this is one of the main adab in the teaching of Islam, is to give people their rights. You give Allah his rights. Allah is not a person, but you give Allah his rights. What's Allah's right? You know what Allah's right? The Prophet said, do you know what Allah's right is on his creatures, on his humans, on the, you know, worshippers? They said, Allah and his messenger know best. He's saying that the right of Allah is that we worship none but him alone. And he said, do you know what the right is of the worshipper? If they do that, what their rights are on Allah? They said, what? Said that Allah will not punish them. So we look forward to that, that Allah won't punish us because we only worship Allah alone. But then after that is the right of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to be worshipped, because we just said the worship is for Allah, but to be obeyed. Ati Allah wa ati Rasul. Obey Allah and obey His messenger. Yes? Okay. So the next in line after Allah is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we obey him. If he tells you anything, you do it. Then after that, well, we already heard, he said, your mother, and then your father. Amazing. And then after that, well, believe it or not, your wife. You say, what? I don't have to obey my wife. Hold on. You have to work side by side with your wife. Oh, yeah. Even Allah mentioned in Quran how we deal with each other. All the Muslims, male and female. Allah said, wa umruhum shura bainahum. You take mashura and counsel amongst yourselves. That means you don't have the right to disorder her around all the time. You tell her what to do. I'm the man. Oh, yeah? Well, Allah told you in the Quran you were the man. And He told you what you could do about it, too. He told you in chapter 4, An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 34. You want to look it up? He says about the regimen, man. He said the man is what? Over the woman? He said the man is the protector and the provider for the woman. So yes, you do have a special job. Get to work. And you are protecting her. So that means you what? You're like her bodyguard. That means you work for her. And you provide for her. That means what? If she needs food, and she does, you gotta go get it. Water, drink, clothes, house, medicine, education. You have to do that. Sometimes when I tell the brothers this, they go, huh? With that. That is what we thought you were gonna say. Sometimes brothers will ask me, when a sister works, what percentage of her salary needs to go for the household money? What percentage? One brother was saying, shouldn't it be half? She's only giving me 25%. I said, you're going to be very surprised, and she's going to be very happy to know that it's not 25% that she has to give you. It's zero. Absolutely nothing. This is a part of the adab in Islam, that the man must provide and protect the lady. That means his mother, his sisters, his wife, his daughters, and guess what? Even women who are not related, because Allah didn't say husband, He didn't say father or son or brother. He said men in general have responsibility for all the women. And the Prophet ﷺ made it clear, because he said in the last days, One man would be responsible for 50 women. Not 50 wives, by the way, 50 women. What one buddy saying, I just want one. Just one. Don't worry, I'm not going to give you away. I've been doing that to the brothers since I've been over here, but this time I'm going to be nice and I'm not going to point to anybody and say his name is... No, I'm not going to do that. Anyhow, something is that this teaching in Islam is clear. That people have rights. Allah has rights. Prophet has rights. The Quran has rights. The Quran has rights. Aren't you? Amazing. But also in Islam, there's more. In addition to that, every human has rights on a Muslim. Do you know that? Even if it's somebody who's not a Muslim, he has rights. You can't steal from people, can you? You have to respect their property. Even if he's not a Muslim, you don't go steal stuff. You don't lie about him. He's not allowed to do that. That's not right. And how about this? What about an enemy? Do our enemies have any rights? Right, they do. The enemies of the Muslims still have rights. For instance, we cannot just go in and destroy their families, their children, their elders, their property. They have rights. And if they put their weapons down and stop fighting, then it's their right for us to stop fighting them as well. And if we make a treaty with them, we have to uphold that treaty. This is also a part of the rights in Islam. And even if we capture them, they still have rights. We're not allowed to torture them. We're not allowed to, you know, make fun of them or put them down. That's not in Islam to do that. The only obligation we have, we do need to tell them La ilaha illallah, that there's only one God to worship, and Muhammad is the messenger. But we don't torture them and we don't make fun of them or ridicule them. And if they die, if our enemies die, if they're killed in combat or whatever, they have the right to be buried, and we have to give them that right as well. We don't have the right to desecrate their body. We don't have to make fun of them or cut them up or something like that. We bury them with dignity. Look at this. Even the rights of your dead enemy in Islam. Did you ever hear of any other religion like this? Did you ever hear any government like this? Even the Geneva Convention, which is supposed to be about rights, that is what Islam has. Islam is so perfect because it covers all of these areas. And we have so many examples. But I don't want to keep you here all night. And I don't want to keep people up too late. So I just want to mention a couple of things, and then I'll be gone. Because I got to get out of here early before Fajr in the morning. So I'll mention a couple of things. I want to talk about the parents one more time. My father passed away in January, and I miss my father very, very much. I didn't get to be with him very much in the last couple of years because I was traveling every day, just like I do now. So I would call, and I would ask about him. They never did put the phone over to him because he couldn't even talk on the phone anymore. But still, he was in my dua, my prayers, and he still is now. You know what? For you young boys, I want you to listen to me. When you get older, don't you want to have children? Wouldn't you like to have nice children? Good children? Children that will do what you ask them to do and not talk back and talk smart and be bad and do bad things? Well, I found the secret. I didn't know this before I became a Muslim. But I found the secret in Islam, how to get good children. Because when I read the Quran, it's speaking to me, it's Allah speaking, it's saying to me that when my parents get old, don't even say oof to them. To treat them with kindness, even in the condition that my father was in. In addition to that, the Prophet ﷺ treated the elders with such care and concern, even those that weren't Muslim. He treated them with so much concern. It was really beautiful the way that he talked to his uncle, who was not a Muslim. And he talked to his uncle and asked him to accept Islam. He tried his best but his uncle didn't accept it. But then he went out and prayed for his uncle, and prayed and prayed. He said, I will not stop unless Allah shows me some way. And Allah did, not to make prayer for people who die as non-Muslims. But look at how much concern. So one time, when my own two children were fighting in the kitchen, I could hear them. I was at the computer. That's when I'm home, that's all I do is sit at the computer. So when I was answering emails and working on our website, I heard them in there fighting. It's your turn to wash the dishes. Oh, it's my turn last night. Oh, you didn't do it. That's because you didn't do them the night before and I did them then. And so last night you had to go, but it's still your turn tonight because last night you did blah, 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 blah. Anybody who's got kids knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I got up to walk in there. I'm just going to go in there and I'm just going to tell them, look, stop it. I'm computer here and I'm trying to do something and you're just distracting me, something terrible. But on the way walking over there, I said, you know what's really going to happen? When I open the door to the kitchen, they're going to say, but I'm not a coon, Daddy. And I'm going to say, are y'all fighting?
No.
So yeah, I'm going to go in there and even bother, you know? So I stopped, and I turned, and I went over to my father, who was sitting in his chair. He just sit there and rock and stare, because he doesn't know where he is. And I put my arms around him, and he looked up at me, trying to figure out, who is that? And he recognized me, smiling. And I said, I love you. And I kissed him on the forehead. And he smiled. And I went back to my chair, and I sat down and went back to work on the internet. It wasn't very long that the door opened up to the kitchen, and here came one of my daughters. And she came over and she put her arm right around my neck, the same way I put my arm around my father's neck. She kissed me on the forehead and she said, Daddy, I love you. She left the room and went the other way, and here comes now the door open again, and here comes the other one. She walked up to me the same way, put her arm around my neck, kissed me on the forehead, and she said, Daddy, I love you. Nobody knows this story but me. Of course, now everybody in the world has heard it from me, but at the time, my father couldn't have told them, because he didn't know. But only Allah knew. He made them come to me exactly the same way, both of them, and say the same thing and do the same thing that I had done to my father. So if you want good children, then be good to your parents. And it's a promise from Allah. He will not forget the good treatment that you give to your parents. There isn't anything after the worship to Allah and the obedience to the Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There isn't anything after that that's any better for you than the way you treat your parents. I know that sometimes, and many Muslims tell me, but my parents, they're not Muslim. Or one of my parents is not a Muslim. Allah didn't make that as a condition, did he? That is not a part of the condition. Whenever Allah gives you parents, they're your parents, and you give them the respect and the honor that they deserve as your parents. And you pray for them that Allah will make them Muslim. That you obey them in everything except where disobedience to Allah. When it's disobedience to Allah, you can't do it. So if they tell you, I want you to mow the lawn, then you have to mow the lawn. But if they tell you, I want you to worship a statue, you can't do that. Because that's against the law. It's an amazing thing, your parents. You don't realize how much you become like your parents till they're gone. And you look at yourself and you see all these things about yourself and you say, oh, my mother used to do that. My father used to do that. And you realize that you really have been highly influenced by the way you were raised by your parents. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that every single child is born on the fitrah of the submission, aslam, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islam. Every child is already born in the right condition, worshipping Allah, submitting to Allah. But it's their parents that will raise them up to become Jews, Christians, or Majusi, fire worshippers. That's how much influence parents have on you. How much should you appreciate your parents that raised you up to be a Muslim? How much should you appreciate them when you don't have to go 50 years looking for the right way? Your parents delivered it right to the door from right to the beginning. How much should you appreciate that? And when they ask me, what about Mother's Day? What about Father's Day? I said, when I was a Christian, we used to believe in that. When I came to Islam, I found out every day is Mother's Day, and every day is Father's Day. So if I found a day when I could treat them better than I had been in the past, I'm going to make that Mother's Day and Father's Day or Parents' Day, but then the next day I'm going to have to try to do the same thing again. And it's stupid for us to eliminate 359 days out of the year just so that we have one day that we're going to recognize our parents. And that's just one of the many things in the adab of a Muslim, is how he treats his parents. There's more. There's a lot more. We don't have time tonight. But I want to tell you that there's so many more things. We have them on some tapes and CDs. And I think we have one with us tonight called Lame Brain Logic. And it's talking why a human brain can't figure it out. Allah's orders overtake your logic. And I'll give you one because it involves one of my children. So you can hear this story. But just so that you realize there's so many things in Islam that you take for granted, or you might even not do it and think it's not important. I've heard some people say, you don't have to do that, that's just a sunnah. Maybe you don't have to do it, but I don't like it when you say just a sunnah. You're implying there's something wrong with sunnah, and it's not something beautiful. It's a part of the wahi. It's a part of the revelation that was sent from Allah, is the sunnah. Because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I've been sent with the Quran and something like it. What do you think is something like it was? Not another book. It's the explanation of the book. And many of you know that when Muslims eat and drink, that they have to sit down. And sometimes you meet brothers from Jamaat Tabligh and they come and they sit and they want you to sit with them and eat. And they will tell you, oh brother, sit down when you eat or drink. But you also know that there are some people who will tell you, oh, that's just a sunnah, you don't have to do that. You can eat and get right. But that night I did it because there was no other way for me to get there. On my way back, I was so tired, I was falling asleep. My little daughter was with me and she said, Daddy, stay awake. I said, I can't. When I got to the red light, I put my head down on the steering wheel. And she started screaming, Daddy, stay awake, wake up, the light is green, go. I said, I can't, I'm too tired. So she turned the radio on and she turned it all the way up. And it wasn't any music, it just was somebody's voice. Always sit down when you eat or drink, the voice is saying. Never stand up when you eat or drink, the man's saying that. And I'm going, huh? Who's this? Who's saying this? So I looked at the radio and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I started driving, you know, listening. There was a doctor and he was explaining the damage that you do to your esophagus, to the trachea inside, and he was mentioning something called hiatal hernia. He was mentioning damage to the stomach, damage to the various parts of the body. He said so many operations would be not needed if you would just sit down when you eat or drink, because your body is designed to digest food while you're in a sitting position. I heard that. It was broadcast right there in Washington, D.C., and I heard it on the radio. By the time I got home, I was still wide awake, and I was listening to this long speech he was giving. And I pulled in the garage, and I parked, and I thought about it. You know what? If I sit down now when I eat or drink, am I doing it for Allah and His Messenger, or am I just doing it for my health? Are you doing it because the doctor said it, or are you doing it because the Prophet said it? I highly recommend for all of us to consider that Allah didn't waste your time when He sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show you the complete deen, the complete way of life. I highly recommend for myself and all of us to go back and look again at what Allah has told us in His book and what His messenger has shown us with his life, and learn the real adab of a real Muslim before it's too late and we find out about the real adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow, and we were broadcasting live today here in Columbus, Ohio, at Masjid Omar bin Khattab. And our next program is scheduled for, I think, maybe tomorrow night, where I have to check with Sister Layla. So those of you online, go ahead and check out the schedule of events. And until next time, this is Yusuf Estes reminding you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Hadi. He's the guide. And when you need guidance, call on Him. And Allah is the one who is the forgiver and He's the merciful. As He said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. But He's also the punisher. وَشَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. So seek refuge in Allah and fear Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us and bring us back together here in this life for something good for Him, or in the next life on the Day of Judgment in a better shape than we are now. Amen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Sister Layla, are you online?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, we got it all.
Okay, jazakallah khair, and I'll see you as soon as I have my schedule for next week.
Yeah, I got you for tomorrow, too.
Okay, what time?
Let me look at the schedule. Hold on. It's,
I can't hear you.
Wait a minute. My schedule.
Let me try again. Say it again.
Guys, what does the schedule say for tomorrow? The Sheikh Youssef.
I'm gonna have to come back with you tomorrow because I can't hear.
Okay, I got the schedule.
Hey, wait a minute, I can't hear you now. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, we got you tomorrow.
Every time you try to talk, he puts his mouth on the microphone again. Go ahead, say it again.
We have you tomorrow at 9 p.m.
9 p.m., good enough. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Oops, let me cut this off.